So it is said in Kali Yuga, thoughts don't bear karmic reactions. So then I also said that there are two meanings of the word thoughts, and we get reactions on the psychological level also. So how do we understand this? Yeah, that section is then the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj allows Kali to come because Kali Yuga has one virtue, that thoughts don't bear karmic reactions. So that's why he allowed Kali to come in over there. So now there are two different things. Thoughts don't bring karmic reactions, but thoughts can be karmic reactions. And it's a different thing. If I have a particular thought, that may not cause me karmic reaction. But a particular thought coming in me, that may be a karmic reaction. If two people are walking along a road, one of them is an alcoholic, the other is a sober person. For the first person, if there is a bar along the way, immediately the thought comes, let's drink. For the other person, they may not even notice there is a bar over there. Just go to work straight. So, why did this thought pop up in this person? In the alcoholic, that is a reaction to kind of actions that they have done. So, now just because that person thought, oh, let me drink, that is not necessarily a sinful thought. When we get some sinful desires, a sinful at the level of thought, they may not bring karmic reactions. But their occurrence itself, just because they are present, doesn't make us karmically culpable. But why are they present at all? Why are they present in some people and not present in some people? Their presence is a reaction to the kind of actions that we have done in the past. And secondly, although thoughts themselves don't produce karmic reactions, but thoughts, if they are not processed, then thoughts will lead us to actions which will have karmic reactions. So if I let a thought not just stay in my mind, but I identify with it, I entertain it, then eventually that thought will lead to action. The thought is the ancestor to the deed. Procreation has to happen from the ancestor to come to the descendant. But the thought is there, and if we give attention to the thought, then that attention causes the thought to grow. So all the thoughts themselves don't produce karmic reactions. That doesn't mean that any and every thought we can nonchalantly entertain within us. Because the thoughts will grow. The more attention we give, the more momentum they get. And then, if they get too much momentum, it will be very difficult to control them. If we are riding a horse, and say the horse is meant to go on this road, it sees some fruit off the road, and its head starts going there, and starts moving in that direction. Now, the horse has not gone off the road. There's no danger. But if we don't curb the horse, then it will start moving in that direction. And if we let it go, it will gain more and more momentum. And as it gets more and more momentum, then pulling it back will be much more difficult. So initially, the horse had gone that direction, just bring it back. The horse started running in that direction, pull it back. The horse will gain speed, it will be very difficult. So like that, initially thought pops up, not much of a problem. We just neglect it and move on. We entertain it, it'll start growing. And the more the thought grows, it becomes like a horse that has gained momentum. And beyond a particular point, the thought may irresistibly force us into actions. It's not immediately that every thought will force us to actions, but if the thought is entertained, then it can force us into actions. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.